Thank you, Josh. And Hannah as well, that was a beautiful prayer, so thank you for that as well. If you are joining us tonight for the first time, you have jumped into week four of a series, After the Storm, New Growth, Deeper Roots, and the idea that actually last year was somewhat of a storm for a lot of us, and we go through storms in life. Things happen, there are ups and there are downs, but actually, like, God wants to build this robust faith in us that we can withstand the storms which come, that we can actually go deeper in our love of Him and love of one another. And so tonight we are entering into the new growth aspect, and tonight's focus is on community, that actually how do we as a church community love one another more and more deeply and more genuinely and more real with each other. The pointy end of tonight's talk is that the invisible God is made visible through the way that we love one another. That's where we're actually heading, that people in our community will step into ministries that we run. They'll step into Bible studies and young mums groups and youth groups and boys' brigades. They'll step into fitness clubs. They'll encounter our friendships. And at the center of it all, they will see Jesus. So the invisible God is made visible when they encounter us loving one another. This passage was written to the church, so we know that we ought to love everyone, but its focus is on us in this room tonight. Before we jump in, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, that we actually can live in new life with you, in right relationship with you. Thank you that you care about us. You don't leave us where we are, but you transform us. And Lord, I just want to thank you that we get to do life with people. I love hanging out with people. I love being encouraged by people. And so tonight, I just pray that you might be speaking to us about what it means to love one another better and actually to reflect your love in that as well. Help us to be your hands and your feet. And Lord, I pray that as we go from here tonight, that we might actually see people step into our community and encounter you. And come to know you as well. Amen. I've got some tech tonight as well. Oh, there we go, we're on. We're just going to break this passage down into a few key points, and then we're going to get really practical at the end. So I want you to be thinking as we go. Sorry, I've already messed up. There we go. I want you to be thinking, what does this mean for me? Like, what is God saying to me? What do I need to do about it? And we're going to be thinking around habits of better ways to actually do life together. But if you've got your Bibles there, stay open. Keep them open to 1 John 4. We're going to jump into verse 7 to 10. And what do we learn about God? We learn that God is love. That is just who God is. God is love. He can't not love because at his core, who is God? Love is what God is. God is love. All love comes from God, that those who love are born of God. In verse 8, the truth that God is love, and that love is that God sent his Son out of love because he is love as a sacrifice for our sins. God is love. And it's not just that God loves you, it's that God is love. Etch that into your mind. The creator, the sustainer, the king of the world is love and nothing less. And more than that, John tells us that this love we see is God-initiated. It comes from God. It's nothing that we could do. It's nothing that we can do. Nothing we have done will deserve it, and nothing we will do will earn it. Love comes from God. It is what God actually brought into the world. John paints this beautiful picture that it is impossible to love without God because all love, the origin and root of love, is God. And that is the only way that we actually have the ability to love one another. We need God in order to love people because he is love and he initiated love. And in verse 9, we see that this love isn't an abstract idea. It's not actually just a nice thought or a picture with words on top of it to hang on your wall. God is love isn't designed just to sound nice or for us to believe in. God proved love. God showed us the fullness of what love is. He shows us just how much he is love and how much he loves each and every one of you. Because this love, more than an abstract idea, is rooted in the historical person of Jesus. Love is found in the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. Verse 9 begins, "This is how God showed his love among us. God has shown us his love. He gives us an example. The example, the proof, is Jesus." God is love is tangible. It means something. It holds weight. It is found in the person of Jesus. Love is God initiated. He wants to love you. He chose to love you. And he chose this love when he sent his son. Because we live in a sinful world, we live in a world where we go our own way. We try to be our own God. We miss what it means to be made in the image of God. We miss what it means to actually receive that love from God. We make mistakes. We miss the mark. Yet this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. It is what God did in your life and for you. And before you were created, God had chosen love for you. Before you were created, God had chosen love for you. He chose to send his son into the world so that we could be in relationship with God again. That is love. God giving up his son so that you may know, experience, and live in the reality of that love. God is love. That's just what he does. And that is our base tonight of when we begin to look at loving one another. God is love. All love comes from God. Jump with me then to the end of verse 12. It says that God's love is made complete in us. Does that mean God's love is not complete? Did God miss a bit? Is he actually holding some back from us? Why is God's love not complete? Yet God is love is not an incomplete statement. God is complete. His love is complete. What isn't complete, however, is our experience of it. We miss the fullness of the love of God. And we miss it because God has actually given us responsibility. He's actually given us responsibility to respond in his love, to respond to his love in obedience. And it's through our actions and our response to this love, the way that we actually respond to others, respond by loving others, that people will experience more fully the love of God. God's love is completed through us when we actually love one another. It's not that God's love isn't complete. It is that we pull away the fullness of it. We can only experience God's love to its completeness with others, in community, in relationship with other believers. I need you and you need me. We actually need each other in this. We require one another to actually follow Jesus together. You cannot sit in a quiet room and pray and read your Bible and experience the fullness of the love of God, because the love of God is made complete in the way his people love one another. Like, the church community is actually God's gift to us. It's God's gift that we get to do life together and follow him together. And it is only a matter, it's only because of his grace that we get to do that. What responsibility that is then to actually complete the love of God. But what joy does it bring that we actually get to participate in God's love and actually grow together in our understanding and awareness of the fullness of that love. And it's at this point that we're getting into the heart of how the invisible God becomes visible through the love of God's people. The way the church loves one another, treats one another, speak to one another and act, that is how God is made visible to us. But also, as a flow-on effect, to the community around us, to people who step into our community. When people step into these groups, when they step into Alpha, when they step into a young mums group, when they step into a fitness group or a youth ministry, whatever it is, they will experience, they will see, they will encounter the living God in the way that we love one another. They should see Jesus in the way we respond to one another. Thus, the invisible God is made visible to them. They see, they encounter, and they are asked to respond. And that love of God, it has to require a response from us. We can't just sit there and go, great, thanks, God loves me. That love, the weight of that love, the fullness of that love seen in Christ means that we have to, the only proper response for us is to actually go and in turn love people. It's God initiated, it's God's choice to love you, but the only proper and worthy response is to love one another. What then is love? We often hear love described as a feeling, something we can sort of tap into and out of. It comes and it goes. But love is so much more than a way of feeling. It is this divine, God-given way of relating to one another and yourself. It should shape every part of our being, including our relationship with others. And it should begin to reshape us towards God's goodness and his new creation. Love is this covenant with one another, a commitment to each other, a decision to love one another. And it's an obligation we actually have to each other. We have to love each other. We are committed to it. We are obligated to. And we have to have this covenant with one another. Love isn't a feeling. Love in this passage is God. It is God sending his son, a person, a real person. That is love. We are to make complete the love of God. So what should that look like? Jesus. God created us in his image and in the likeness of Jesus. That's who we are becoming. That's who we should strive to be, because that is who we are in this world. And that has a few implications for our love. I reckon our love should be sacrificial. You'll have to give something up when you love people. You might not get anything back. Our love should be sacrificial. Our love should be selfless, because loving people isn't about you. Let that sit for a moment. What's that mean in your life? Our love should be unconditional, because love doesn't pick teams. Loving people requires that you love everybody. You don't get to choose or have favorites. It also means that you love no matter what people do. There aren't any prerequisites when it comes to God's love. And loving people means that people aren't your project. They're not someone that you're trying to change or save. That's God's business. Loving people means you just love them. 1 Corinthians 13 says that love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. What a beautiful picture of love that is. And the scriptures are full of images like that, of what it means to love sacrificially, unconditionally, and relentlessly. We are called to love people. But you can't love by yourself. It's a pretty big ask, really, isn't it? Just go and love one another like Jesus. And I reckon God knows that's a big ask, and John seems to know it too. And that's why in verses 13 to 16, he talks about the role of the Holy Spirit, actually God living in you. Because the ability to love people, remember, it's God initiated, so the ability to love doesn't come from anything you can do. All love comes from God. And it is actually the work of the Spirit in your life. when you have a thought to love, when you carry out actually loving people, it all comes from the Holy Spirit actually pushing and prodding and providing and walking with you as you love others. Did you know that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? That you are a temple of the living God? That you have the living God living in you? Already at work in your life is the Holy Spirit. We don't have to ask for the Spirit to come. We already have it. Rather, we should pray for our heart to actually open up, our lives to be influenced and shaped and molded by the Spirit which is already at work in our lives. I wonder if tonight you need to accept the Spirit in your heart. I wonder if you actually need to open up your heart to allow the Spirit the space it needs to transform your life and your heart. Allow God to do the work. It's not up to you. And when we accept the Spirit, it actually reassures. The Spirit sustains and the Spirit brings hope. We can know and rely on the love God has for us through the Spirit being alive and dwelling in your heart. So God is love, made complete when we love one another, fueled and propelled by the Holy Spirit, which is alive in us. Yet then John talks about fear. Because loving others takes vulnerability. It means opening yourself up, being vulnerable with people. It means sometimes we might be rejected. It means sometimes people don't accept you. It means sometimes people will let you down. And it stings. It is hard. What if I'm left out? What if we are not welcomed? What if we are rejected or left hurt or disappointed? And John knows that tension. He feels it. But for John, what's he say? There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. Why? Well, because John here is talking about the day of judgment. Fearing judgment from God, yet there is no fear in this judgment anymore, because in this world you are like Jesus. You are loved by the creator of the world. You are accepted by the king of the universe. You are known, liked, and loved by the all-powerful God, wrapped up in his grace. And knowing this in your heart, accepting this in your soul, is actually what drives out fear, because this perfect love from our creator drives out all fear. No fear can exist in your heart when you know your identity and your worth in Christ. It means that when you're left hurt or let down when trying to love someone, we need not despair. We don't have to get down about it. We can actually just recenter ourselves on the love of God through Christ. Our focus moves back to who we are in Christ, and we can have confidence in that grace and his forgiveness, that we don't have to actually worry about what others think. We don't have to worry about what happened. We are free of fear because we have the most perfect of loves in the universe loving us. We are free to love because we are fully loved. We are free to love because we are fully loved. A couple of years ago, Zach and I actually planted some spring onions at my place. And after a couple of months, I don't know how many grew up, 50, 70, 80 spring onions had grown. And Mel actually came around. We were catching up and we decided to do some gardening together. So we pulled up the spring onions. And what do you do with 50 spring onion plants? I didn't know either. So I decided I would take it to my neighbours. Nice thing to do. So I walked around to the neighbor's place. Some people were there. They loved it. We got chatting. It was a great way to meet my neighbors. There was another house where like the door was shut, but the door was open, but the wire one was shut, and there was a car in the driveway, but no one came to the house. And I was like, oh, that's all right. Like they're probably out the back doing something. And then another one had like an intercom where they could actually watch you from their door, like one of those cameras. And they spoke to me through their intercom and said that, they actually grow their own spring onions, so they didn't want mine, but that's okay. And it was a great way to meet the neighbours, and we had a great time. We got rid of them in like 20 minutes or something, and it was great. And then later that night, I get these messages start coming through that someone on the community page had actually posted about me. The famed Thornleigh Wesley Normanhurst community page, and I was on it. However, they'd said that there was some suspicious activity in Campbell Avenue, my street, as two young people were pretending to sell spring onions. The last time this happened, they were selling cookies, and 2 days later, all these houses got robbed. There I was. I thought I was doing a lovely thing. And someone wanted to go on the community page and just tear it down and say that I was going to rob them in 2 days. I knew who not to rob because they were home. But it was me actually reaching out to my neighbours. And it rocked me a bit, actually, having someone say that and post that. And it threw me. And it was silly, but it actually made me be a bit more distant. I think I took it to heart a lot. Later that year, I wanted to do some Christmas drinks with my neighbours, and I just put a nice Canva invite in their letterbox. And thinking back, I didn't go and knock on the door because I was scared. I was nervous about what people would see, what they would think, what they would say about me. And so I just put it in the letterbox, and it didn't go that well. If you're going to invite your neighbours around, go talk to them. The challenge for me, though, was not to get so rocked by that act of love, but was actually to just recenter myself and know my identity and my worth in Christ and to actually keep going. Because I'm not defined by what people think or what people say, but I'm defined by the perfect love of our Creator. The most perfect of loves is upon us, and we are free to love because we are fully loved. The Message version actually finishes with this. The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. Go and love people. And that, if you just take that away from the talk tonight, you will be doing well. Go and love people. Because we believe that through the ups and the downs of life, the storms we may be facing or have faced, through wherever we are in life, that God actually wants to re-knit us into a community which loves one another deeply. Where our relationships, where in our relationships, the love for one another and the love for God is central and key and what we are all about. I actually think God wants to grow us in this and develop new rhythms and new habits to actually bring about more life-giving relationships between us. That we shouldn't actually rely on programs or events for this to happen, but actually we should rely on this deep and radical love for one another. Because without the love of God, without that love for each other, we are actually nothing. What is your role in this? What's all this mean for you? Well, I reckon God wants you to participate in his love, and that means we need to respond in obedience and actually go out and start loving people. The invisible God, God is made visible to one another and to the community around us when we begin to love one another without fear. The way we treat one another in the church, the way we speak to one another, the way we act should be a signpost, a light, all pointing to the origin and motivation of love. All our community should actually point to Jesus and his ultimate love for us. That's why we're here. That's what our community is based on. That is what our lives should be based on as well. This week in our small groups, we're going to be talking more about habits around this. And one habit to begin with is rock up, like turn up and get involved. Encourage one another through your presence. Reminding ourselves that we need one another to complete the love of God. We need you, and you need us. And there's actually a wide range of disciplines which might apply to this concept tonight. Because you may live in fear of judgment, unsure of who you are in Christ, and so fear seems to have power over love. If that's you, may I suggest leaning into silence and solitude? Go and spend time with God, learning how loved you are by him. Being secure and sure of our relationship with God is actually what drives fear out. Being confident of being in Christ will actually grow our confidence to love one another. Go to the beach for a day, sit in the bush, journal and read. Strengthen your identity in Christ. And it feels funny to talk about silence and solitude in a talk on community, but our whole community will actually grow and flourish if we come to a greater awareness of who each of us are in Christ. Go, do some work with God, just you, and you'll come into community with less fear, because the perfect love of God will be more understood in your heart, and it will be more real than ever, and you'll be free to actually love others. Did you know that just down the road is this beautiful lookout? Like, I went there this week and it is quiet and it is peaceful, and I just sat there and I prayed and I journaled. That's in West Lea. Like, go and use what is near us and around us to sit and be with God. We are we live in such an incredible area to actually enjoy the goodness of what God made. If you want to know where that is, come and ask me afterwards. It's not that secret. It's fine. But maybe you struggle to understand how your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. If that's you, may I suggest actually leaning into prayer. Like, go try different types of prayer too. Ask God, cry out, praise, worship, examine. Prayer, more than any other activity that we will do, places us in the flow and in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Prayer actually wakens the Spirit in us as we open up our lives to give it the space it deserves. In prayer, in the presence of God, you will learn more about what it means to be fully yourself. Lean into prayer this week. Go to that spot in West Lea and pray. Or you might live a busy life, always on the go, 50 things on your mind and so much happening around you. And it's all good things. Our lives are full of good things, but you are hurried and you miss what God might want to do in your life. You miss the people God has placed before you to love. Not because you don't love them, but because you don't spend time thinking creatively and praying about them and for them. John Ortberg, a pastor and author, says this: love and hurry are incompatible. Love and hurry are incompatible. Love always takes time, and time is one thing hurried people don't have. So maybe you need to practice this week slowing down. Like, intentionally place yourselves in situations where you have to wait. How frustrating is that? Intentionally place yourself in the longer queue at the traffic lights. Oh, that would be so annoying. Or when you go shopping, there's all like the self-serve ones and they're flying through. Go and wait behind someone else to practice having to slow down. Practice, put yourself in situations where you are forced to slow down, to think and to pray. And we can actually use things which we are already doing in life to practice these habits. Think about it as habit stacking. What is something you already do? I already go to the shops. When I'm in the shops, I'm going to join the longer queue to practice slowing down. Stack habits on top of things that we already do, and it'll be really helpful as we practice them. Intentionally force yourself to slow down, though. Because we're so drawn to hurry, like, it makes us think that we're important in life so often. But actually, if we stop and we slow, we would actually just be pulling away the scaffolding of stuff and things and busyness which we build ourselves up on. And if we slow down and unhurry our life, we'll actually be pulling away that scaffolding to come back to the basics, to better love people and to better understand who you are in Christ. The next one is forgiveness. Maybe loving one another in community is hard because we aren't willing to forgive people. And forgiveness is a discipline I reckon we all need to continually actually lean into. Community is the place where the person you least want to live with always lives. Community can and will be hard and requires forgiveness from all. A way to love one another, to make the invisible God known, is to actually forgive others. Forgive others. In community, Henry Nouwen says that forgiveness is to allow the other person not to be God. that we actually just expect so much from others. In fact, we expect what only God can give us. We often want this unconditional love from people when only God can give us that. Or we demand an affection which is only possible from God. If we don't forgive, we end up becoming demanding and manipulative and quite bitter. So yeah, we have to forgive the wrongs committed and the ways that we actually treat and speak to others. We have to give up the desire and the option to get even. We give it up. We no longer have to keep score. Think about the way that God has actually forgiven you. Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. There is a gift of grace, this undeserved forgiveness from God. And that is what, when people encounter our community, should see. People should actually look at TCBC and go, wow, they forgive one another. The way we forgive one another should actually just blow people away. We should be known for actually giving up the need to get even. And when people see that, they will see the invisible God becoming visible through the way that we forgive one another. The final key discipline for us is celebration. Because if we actually forgive one another, then we can move to a place of celebrating other people. We can actually celebrate who each one of us are and just how incredibly gifted each one of you is. We're then actually able to see glimpses of God's love through people as we celebrate them, their gifts and their status of children of God. No longer do we have to compare. No longer do we have to be envious. No longer do we have to pull down or compete. But we can actually celebrate people. We can celebrate that we are all made differently. We all contribute something different to the kingdom and the body. It's actually a beautiful picture when we celebrate and love one another. And it doesn't mean that we just give each other little compliments. Celebrating means that we accept one another for who we are. We celebrate that we are children of God. So often I feel like we come with this almost self-burden on us. Like, I'm not good enough. I'm useless. Or if I wasn't good at this, people wouldn't like me. If I didn't have this job, they wouldn't call me. If I didn't have influence, they wouldn't love me. And this actually leads us to living these isolated lives, cut off from others, because we believe our value in life only lies in the gifts we have to offer and not in the gifts we can receive. Community is a place, TCBC should be a place, where our gifts are celebrated, but beyond that, who we are is celebrated and recognized, not just what we do or achieve. True joy, life-giving joy, comes to those who are living their lives for something greater than personal happiness. We have to celebrate others, see the good in others, see others as a gift to our lives. Then we will find true joy in God. Choose to celebrate people this week. Pick it. Do it. Say, I'm going to celebrate people like today, right now, tomorrow, or later in the week, this month. Let's choose to actually forgive one another. Let's choose to celebrate one another. And let's be praying that the invisible God might be made visible through the way that we actually go from here and love and treat and speak to one another. I hope some of those disciplines are helpful as we think about what it means to step into community where we love one another. If you'd like to think more about them or read more about them, there's a whole bunch of really helpful resources that I'd love to send through to you. Because I genuinely believe that the Spirit wants to do a work in us, and He actually wants to knit us together to be tighter in the depth of the way that we love one another. And that is the secret to God's mission in this world. The church will be a light and a signpost where people step in, they will encounter God through the way that we actually treat and love one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love us and that you are love. And thank you, God, that you actually call us to respond to that, to participate in your love. Lord, I pray that you might help us to love one another more this week, that you might actually be pulling away that which isn't of you. Things which pull us away from one another, may you actually just take that away, and may you actually just be filling our lives through your Spirit with things and words and ways of being which actually celebrate one another and which actually forgive one another. God, all of that is hard, but thank you that you're actually in that with us, that you care so much about us, and that you actually want to use us to show the world who you are. God, thank you that you love us and that we get to know you and that you actually propel us into new life, ever transforming to love you more and love people more. Amen.